Welcome back to Colt Gennaro Chat. It's a Friday edition. I'm Jeremy. I'm joined by a special guest today, Zach Hicks of VRL USA. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me on.
Zach, along with our good friend Alan, runs VRL USA, our sister site on the SB Nation network. And we are going to be talking, among other things, about Atletico's game against Villarreal on Sunday at La Cerámica, a partido. So we're going to preview that game in just a little bit here. We're going to start with a little bit of Copa del Rey discussion. It was a good day for Atletico on Thursday, Zach. A 5-0 win over Real Majadahonda. It was not so good for Villarreal, upset in the round of 32 by Sporting Gijón. What happened in that game?
As has been a theme this year, whenever Jiro Rui tries to play out short from the back, there is at least a 20% chance that something terrible is going to happen. And so that was the first goal. And then, honestly, we started the game missing so many of the pieces that have made the offense run so fluidly the last few weeks. And so by the time we stuck Gerard on and everything in the second half, it was just they had the momentum they needed in order to come back and get that done. At the end of the day, I was annoyed when it happened yesterday, obviously. But we have so much ground to make up in La Liga and such a big matchup coming up in the Champions League that I'm really not but so upset that we don't have to play any more of these Copa games.
Mm. Yeah, that's certainly understandable. There just gets to be a point in the season where the fixtures are just so congested and they just come thick and fast, one on top of the other. January and February are usually particularly brutal months. And with the way Villarreal's season has gone, it's gone really well lately. 4 wins on the bounce in La Liga. But with the way it's gone, you can never be too sure, right? You don't want to take any chances when you have potential European competition revenue on the line.
Exactly.
So disappointing though it may be, not the end of the world.
Right.
That you guys were knocked out on Thursday. Atletico, on the other hand, 5-0 winners at the Wanda Metropolitano. Not going to spend too much time on this because we do have some other stuff to blaze through here, but I thought this was a very good performance from Atletico, playing a much stronger team than I anticipated, and starting with Jan Oblak in goal, his first cup game in 7 years. You can believe that. I was pretty surprised he played.
I don't mean this to derail us or upset any Atletico fans, but is Jan Oblak still good?
I still think he is. He's had a bad season, but yeah, I think he's still
The guy went from like, it almost reminded me of David De Gea, where it was like he went from being this like incredible, impossible to beat goalkeeper to like super ordinary, and I can't find a real explanation for it.
Mm. Yeah, you and me both, man. It's been really weird. And we've talked about it a little bit over the course of the season as Atletico's defense has been a consistent sore spot. Oblak in particular has had a rough go. I think he's dealt with some confidence issues because we are just getting hit so much on the counterattack. But 2 clean sheets in the past 2 games. And it was a very strong lineup that played yesterday. What encouraged me the most was our 3 first half goals, all of them came from instances where Atletico won the ball back in the opponent's final third. Like a well-executed high press. What is this? We don't do this.
Yeah, it's highly encouraging. I'm afraid that y'all are figuring that trick out at the wrong time for Villarreal, because it's how we've given up a significant number of goals so far this season.
Mm. And that is that's a fun fact to know as we get ready for this game on Sunday. Mateus Cunha and Yannick Carrasco, who I expect are going to start on Sunday, so this is relevant, they played key roles in really all 3 of the goals. Carrasco won the ball back on, I think, 2 of them. And Cunha on the other. Just intelligent, aggressive, high press. Atletico don't have an entire squad's worth of personnel to carry that out, but a guy like Cunha is being utilized properly in this sense, and I think he's going to be a a key figure on Sunday, given that we're going to be without Luis Suarez and Antoine Griezmann, who got injured in the second half.
Carrasco is probably having a better season than both of them, though, isn't he?
He's having a good year. He's had a couple patches where he hasn't played very well. His decision-making's been kind of off the rails a little bit, off color, out of character. But overall, I'd say he's been one of our better players this year because he's asked to do a lot of work on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side the past couple games. And he offers a change of pace and a directness that we don't have too much of in the rest of the squad. And I haven't checked the numbers like shot creating actions, etc. I haven't checked those in a couple weeks, but he was way up there last season. And last I saw, he was in a pretty high register in La Liga this year as well.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, a little bit like Semi Chukwueze at Villarreal, where he causes chaos a little bit for opposing defenses. And so, you know, like you said, when you look at just the overall shot creating actions, whether that's drawing fouls or, you know, creating shots that have rebounds to them or stuff like that, it just comes up with ways to give other people opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And those all count. Those all figure in the methodology. So if we get a Carrasco that is in form and playing well and playing inspired, and it really does make Atletico better. He was so, so good down the stretch last season. And without him and his contributions toward the end, we don't win La Liga. So if we're recovering Carrasco and finding a better role for Cunha, then I think yesterday we'll have to go down as a success. But the real test is on Sunday, Zach. And let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the Yellow Submarine. Villarreal have been on fire in La Liga, the result yesterday in the Cup notwithstanding. Earlier this season, it looked like Unai Emery was a dead coach walking. What happened? How has he resurrected Villarreal here?
Quite simply, Gerard Moreno got fit and got in form. He's such an interesting player because it's hard to really point at exactly how he comes up with all the goals and the plays that he does. He's just, because he's not super fast, he doesn't have a ton of dribble moves, but he's just got so much intelligence and quality passing and finishing the ball that when you put him in there, he offers something that nobody else does, and it completely changes the dynamic that we have going forward.
Mm. Yeah, he's awfully good, isn't he? And he was out for a good, 4 weeks, 5 weeks there?
It was something like that. I mean, we went a long time where, like, either him or Danjuma were out, one or the other, for long periods of time. And that's still been the case the last couple of weeks. So we really haven't gotten to see what I would consider our full-force offense much this season. But when Gerard in particular is in there, he's not just on the receiving end of balls, but he's dropping deep out of that front too, and helping us in possession and creating all kinds of havoc. So.
Yeah, he drops deep and plays really the role of a 7, a 10, and of course a 9, because he had a 30-goal season last year. It is good to see him healthy again. He's one of my favorite players in La Liga, and I would kill to see him play for us, but you don't want to hear that.
No, absolutely not. Y'all, look, frankly, I think y'all have enough play off a traditional 9 type attackers already. I don't think you need to collect Gerard along with him.
I would expect you to say that. I would expect that from you. But the last league game Villarreal played was a 5-0 pasting of Levante. Levante getting closer each day, Zach, to a relegation. Amazing. They still haven't won this season. Villarreal certainly gave them no chance. What did you most like about that manita, that display against Levante?
Well, first of all, I want to say that Levante, for a team that hasn't won any games, is surprisingly good. Like, I know that's a weird thing to say, but, like, they're a legitimately dangerous team. We just happened to demoralize them early in that one. But I think the biggest thing for me in that match is just seeing Bulai Dia finally getting on track. He showed some really good things in his first couple appearances for the club, and then he kind of disappeared for a couple months. So seeing him getting things, in more of a rhythm was really, really good to see. And if he comes back from the African Cup of Nations with that same kind of mentality, I think it'll be good for us the rest of the way.
Yeah, we talked a little bit before the season, and Dia was a guy you were really excited about. And he got off to a pretty good start. Danjuma as well. The Danju magic has been pretty prominent for you guys this season. How good a signing was he?
He's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I was telling somebody just earlier today that, like, when you look at his defensive output, it looks like he plays no defense whatsoever. But if that was the case, then he wouldn't fit in an Unai Emery system. What he does is he's not working very hard to recover the ball, but he's always going to be in the right place defensively. So our team shape stays the same. And then as soon as the ball gets turned over, he's gone. And I mean, in one-on-one situations with opposing defenders, he's as good as anybody in La Liga. I mean, he is absolutely outstanding. I thought we were getting a decent player when he signed, but I did not think we were getting anything anywhere near this electric.
And here's a guy who was playing in the championship last year, the second tier in English football. He comes over, and it's a pretty big disparity between the quality in the championship and the quality at La Liga. And he's got 5 goals this season in around 800 minutes. And he scored against Atletico early this year, so we know how dangerous he is. Yeah, I think he's been undoubtedly one of the signings of the season, and I don't think he's going to be going anywhere. If I read correctly, his release clause is $75
million. Yeah, you know, if he really wants to go somewhere this summer and Villarreal can make a good profit on him, I think they'll take that deal. But this in January with Champions League football coming still on the table and with us trying to get solidly back into European places, unless somebody hits his claws, he isn't going anywhere this January, that's for sure.
Another guy that I don't think is going to be going anywhere anytime soon is Jeremy Pino, who is one of my favorite young players in La Liga. How important is he to this Villarreal side?
He's had an interesting year. He started the year off really, really well. And then I think he just got wore out. I think he got tired because some of the defensive effort and decision making that would made him so useful in the opening couple months started to fade out of his game. But then he got, you know, Chukwueze got back from his injury, and that gave Pino some time to rest. And Jeremy's really come back on strong lately, and I think he's the exact kind of player that Unai Emery can trust, because he's always going to be in the right place, he's always going to be working hard, and he's not selfish, so he's always looking to create things for other people. And having that kind of player out there gives us a bit of a balance in attack that we don't always have when he's not on the pitch.
Mm. Last season, there was quite a bit of controversy when Unai Emery wouldn't play Take Kubo, and Jeremy was getting a lot of his minutes. And it was really, I wouldn't say a flashpoint, but it was very controversial on social media because, you know, Real Madrid loanee should be getting minutes, etc. But Jeremy was outplaying him.
But that's just because Real Madrid fans literally don't watch anybody else in La Liga play. And I'm convinced that half of them on Twitter don't even watch Real Madrid play unless it's in the Champions League. I mean, it just Kubo was never where he was supposed to be. He played, if you ever watch like a U6 kids game where they all just chase the ball around everywhere it goes on the pitch, that's how Take Kubo plays. Just wherever the ball is, he goes and runs 6 yards away. And it created these awful gaps in transition every time we lost the ball. And Unai Emery got tired of it, and Jeremy Pino stepped in and was just as effective offensively with far better of a football brain. And it was just one of those things that, I don't know, I really ought to just stop arguing with people on Twitter that clearly don't watch Villarreal play, but it's still really, really annoying.
Yeah, you and me both, man. That's a New Year's resolution, is to not argue with people on Twitter anymore. It gets obnoxious. Villarreal have had quite a disparity between their home and away results this season. Just 1 win away from home, but per usual, pretty strong at La Ceramica. 6 wins from 10, 2 draws and 2 defeats. What makes Villarreal so good at home? What is so unique about La Ceramica that makes it so difficult to play at?
I think part of that is actually just kind of the way the schedule played out relative to the other factors contributing to our form.
Mm.
I don't think we're a terrible road team. I just think we started to get good right about the time of the season where we had a few home games in a row. But when you're in La Ceramica, you're in a pretty small stadium. Even but like we were playing in against Sporting Gijón yesterday, and I think they have a bigger stadium than we do, even as a second tier side. But of course, it's a historic giant in Spanish football. So it's a very closed in space, which means that you don't need a ton of people there to make it really loud. And I think that helps for sure. But I think in this particular season, a lot of it really just is we happen to hit form right when I think like three out of our four games were at home. And so it made our home record look a lot better than it would have looked to, you know, just a month ago.
Mm. And somehow that's what it takes. It just takes some quirks in the scheduling to get you back in form. Atletico aren't really reliant on academy-born and bred homegrown players. Villarreal, in contrast, extremely reliant on players who come from the academy. Just to name a few, Pau Torres, Manu Trigueros, Gerard Moreno, several guys, Jeremy, Pau Torres. Those are all guys who were born and bred from Villarreal's, from the lower levels, from Villarreal's academy. As a supporter, someone who writes about the team, watches them on a weekly basis, how much pride does it give you knowing that Villarreal placed such a heavy emphasis on investment in the youth and investment in young players, and seeing these kids, especially like Pau Torres, one of the most prominent examples, come from a town of 50,000 and pledge his loyalty to the club?
Well, what's great about Villarreal is they don't just do it to support the first team. Like, the club also has a whole bunch of football academies all over the globe. They've got several in the United States. They've got the two closest to me. There's one in my home state and one in Virginia, and where none of the people from those academies are ever going to go play for Villarreal, but they're helping young people grow through soccer, and they're dedicated to doing it in such a way that helps them entirely as a person. So like even the not just the young players in Spain and their academy, but also the ones here in the States have access to club psychologists and therapists that will help them make sure they've got a good balance between sport and life and things like that. And I think it's just kind of that people first approach that personifies so much of what the club does and everything. And one of the symptoms of that is having a lot of youth products in the first team. So it makes you proud of the club as a whole because of how they prioritize people, not just that they can produce good footballers.
And that's, to me, that's such an impressive and admirable quality, and it's such an admirable philosophy and a strategy to enact at the club. Villarreal have a very rich owner, it's a billionaire owner who hails from the area, but it's that money isn't going into expensive transfers. It's the equivalent is like a small market team in North America, in like the NBA or the NFL. It's a really small market. It's more like a town than a city, right? So,
in the NBA, I'm a San Antonio Spurs fan, and it's kind of that same mentality.
Sure.
Instead of being the place that's going to go attract the giant free agent, we're going to build this and make people better, and we're going to do well that way. And Villarreal is really good at that. And what, I mean, the Fernando Roig is really interesting, because what he did with Villarreal was he put enough money into it to make it a self-sustaining top-flight club in Spain. And a lot of owners with his wealth don't do that. They just keep pouring in money and money, 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 money. Mm-hmm. But what he did was he built something that can function in such a way that has the infrastructure there that even when he's gone, those things are still going to continue to produce positive things for the club and for the community. And it's a lot more sustainable, and that makes me excited as somebody that follows Villarreal.
Yeah, it ensures that you've always got a steady pipeline. It ensures that it's something that can be replicated. And with right. So many clubs, they just kind of bounce between one philosophy and the other. I mean, I can tell you from watching Atletico over the years, it's disappointing that we don't have that strong a pipeline anymore from the under-19s from the B team up to the first team. We've had players from those squads in training with the first team. They've made match day squads, maybe even a short cameo, a substitute appearance here and there. But when I see clubs like Villarreal and Athletic place, and La Real as well, Real Sociedad, place such an emphasis on bringing these kids through and enacting these strategies, it's something I respect, and I'm a little envious of it.
Well, I think Atletico got caught, and in a lot of ways, they're caught halfway between the clubs like us and the club, and then Real Madrid and Barcelona.
Sure.
And yeah, as the, you know, if you really want to step up and compete with those two year in and year out for the La Liga title, then yeah, I mean, you've got to spend money at least in a way that emulates the way they spend money, because you're never going to produce enough simply homegrown talent to do that.
Yeah, it's the nature of the beast.
So Atletico finds itself kind of caught in between where, you know, they want to have a shot at the La Liga title, but they also can't afford to spend all the money that those two are spending. So I'm sure there's a lot of youth kids that get lost in the shuffle, and then you got to kind of figure out, which I think is part of why Simeone's had to evolve so much tactically over the last 10 years, because, you know, he doesn't have that steady, he can't just rely on that steady stream like they do at Athletic Club or La Real, where, hey, all these kids have been playing the same kind of football their entire lives. Now here's how we're going to play in the first team.
Mm-hmm. It is just really night and day from when Cholo took over the club Christmas 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago now, when at that time Atletico could go an entire window and spend only 5 million euros. Now it's player salaries are 5 million euros. It's the nature of the beast. When you're in the tier Atletico are in,
well, and what you've traded money. What you've traded it for basically is that, like, I mean, when he showed up, and even after he showed up for a couple years there, like, y'all went a really long time without beating Real Madrid for a few years there.
14 years.
You know, and he stopped that winning a trophy while he did it, and then, you know, it's kind of, and it's one of those things that, like, yes, it's come at the expense of some of the youth products, but don't get it twisted. Clubs like us and Real Sociedad would probably be very tempted to trade some of those homegrown players for a couple of La Liga titles last 10 years too.
Oh, sure. Flags fly forever, right?
Yeah.
You know, banners, they're always present, always in their afters. What's the deal with the Paco Alcacer?
He's been hurt lately, but he hasn't really had a great season even before he got hurt. He's a really interesting player because he's a very deadly finisher, and he's really good at, you know, Johan Cruyff was always famous for talking about one-touch football. Paco gets one-touch football. Like, a lot of his assists and created shots are him getting it, making one touch off to somebody else, or him getting it, making one touch to get a shot off. The problem is that when he's not doing that, he isn't doing a ton else. And it makes him kind of a hard piece to fit in tactically, especially because of the fact that he's not an aerial threat.
Right.
So you can't just lob balls in for him to get headers with either. I like him. There's a lot at our site. There's a lot of mixed opinions about him. I like him. He's just kind of a hard player to fit into a whole tactical scheme unless you've got exactly what he needs to succeed.
Because if he's not scoring, there's not a whole else he's doing.
Right.
Yeah, players like that can be tough to find. Atletico have a similar problem with Luis Suarez, who is our leading scorer with 9 this season. He ended a 2-month goal drought on Thursday, but because he turns 35 later this month, because he can't really run at all anymore, he's rather limited in what we can expect out of him. He doesn't have he still has the killer instinct, but he doesn't have the athleticism or the versatility or that multifaceted game that he used to have when he was at Liverpool, Barcelona, etc. So Atletico,
yeah, he used to be a really good creator, and that's just, yeah, that's kind of, he's really simplified his game a lot in the last couple of years.
Part of it was by design when Simeone tweaked the team and the structure entirely last season to go to the 3-5-2, with the idea being we get more players closer to the box, we just have Suarez finish chances rather than create them. And but that part of Suarez's game, the creation ability, the dribbling, really anything to do with foot speed, really anything at all, has kind of disappeared. And we've had some trouble this season finding a system and finding a solution where, okay, he's probably Atletico's best goal scorer, but if he's not doing that, he can actively hurt the team because he's a statue.
Right, absolutely.
So it is an interesting conundrum.
Yeah.
Looking a bit further ahead beyond Sunday, you guys have a pretty crucial Champions League tie coming up against Juventus. Will Villarreal make any purchases this month? Any investments to fortify the squad? What are your early thoughts entering the Juve tie next month?
I don't think so. I mean, we're one of those clubs that you'll hear absolutely nothing, and then all of a sudden we go out and do something. but I would love to get another center back because I don't really trust Issa Mendy, and he's out this month anyway for the African Cup of Nations.
Right.
And we rely so much on Pau Torres and Raul Albiol that I'd really like another center back, but I don't think one is coming in. And then there's Cedric Bakambu is out of contract. And it was rumored for a while that he was coming back, but I don't know. I haven't heard a whole lot else on that front, and I kind of feel like to bring him in, we'd have to move one of the other two strikers, and I don't think that's going to happen. So I think we're going to stand pat this month.
Mm. From the Atletico perspective, it looks like we're going to be buying. Kieran Trippier's move to Newcastle confirmed on Friday, and Atletico are short at least one defender. Ideally, I'd like to sign a right back who can play center back or vice versa. Cesar Azpilicueta strikes me as a perfect fit, but I don't think he's leaving Chelsea. So we'll see what Atletico do. I think at least one defender is going to come in this month, and it depends on who else can be moved, given La Liga's salary cap and the salary limits. It requires one in, one out. So it's difficult in January, especially for teams to buy.
The answer is obviously to just cancel Saul's loan and play him as a right wing back, right?
That's the plan B, certainly.
So
yeah, good to see Saul playing a little bit better for Chelsea, speaking of that. But that I wonder what's going to happen with that situation, because he could come back and it could be a nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really weird because he's one of those players that – he's certainly talented enough to be a contributor at most any club, but if his goal is to be a start every match kind of guy, I feel like he's setting his sights a little bit too high at Chelsea and Atletico. So I don't know. It's almost like he needs to either accept being a role player at Atletico Madrid or move down the table a little bit and play a whole bunch for a, you know, exciting mid-table club.
He's getting to that crossroads in his career. I think you're absolutely right. He's getting to that point at 27, going on 28 this year, where he hasn't been all that good the past couple years. His minutes at Chelsea have been spotty, to say the least. He's playing a bit better now, but will it be too late to convince Chelsea to spend $40 million on him? Who knows? We'll find out over the summer. As for Sunday's game, what's going to be the key for Villarreal to beat Atletico? Unai Emery's never pulled one over on Cholo. How is he going to do it Sunday?
I hate to say it, but y'all are catching, and it sounds weird because of what our La Liga run has been lately, but y'all are catching us at the absolute perfect time.
Mm.
Because Paco's out injured, Danjuma's been out injured for a while, and Sami Chukwueze and Bulai Dia both left for the African Cup of Nations this week.
Mm.
So a lot of the goal creation that has existed in the side in this like incredibly hot run we've had for the last month and a half or so just isn't there right now. It's going to be Gerard Moreno, Jeremy Pino, and honestly, who knows who else trying to carry the attack. So I think the key for us is really just going to be to try to not make any stupid decisions playing the ball out of the back, and hope Gerard nicks a goal somewhere. And otherwise, I mean, it really wouldn't surprise me if Unai Emery went into this one saying, okay, we're going to try to get a draw and then just call that it.
A draw might be a pretty good result from an Atletico point of view as well. This is always one of the toughest games on the calendar, going to La Ceramica, playing Villarreal. And the first time these two met this year, it was that really crazy 4-goal game at the Wanda Metropolitano with an error at the back at the very end. It seems like that's been a theme with Rulli and Goldman, a theme this year.
Well, so the weird thing about that is, like, last year before Vicente Abora tore his ACL, you just couldn't press us. I mean, with him and Danny Parejo in the middle of the pitch, you could not press us, or we were going to go around you and we were going to score. Like, it was unbelievable. And that really didn't matter whether we had a Senho in goal or whether we had Rui in goal, and because Rui played in the Europa League. But this season, Ibora hasn't been the same guy. Kapui is an excellent player, but he's not quite that same kind of possession-based midfielder. And Rui, who I think is a very good goalkeeper, is being asked to play more short balls out of the back than anybody else in La Liga, and it just has not worked. So he's been more – we've been more direct the last month or so. But as you saw yesterday, whenever we try to go back to that short ball game, danger is definitely lurking.
So this could play into Atletico's hands, particularly if Mateus Cunha starts, Joao Felix or Angel Correa will be partnering him in attack at the start of the game. But particularly Cunha, Carrasco, Rodrigo De Paul as well, those are guys who are going to be key to pressing Villarreal high and trying to win the ball if they're going to play it short out of the back. So that really could play into Atletico's hands. I still think our best look, our best strategy is as a counter-attacking side with an intelligent press, and I think this is going to be a good proving ground. And it's really a battle for European positioning. Villarreal are getting closer to the top four spots. Atletico trying to hold on to a top four spot as we begin the second half of the season. I'm excited for this one. You got a prediction in ya?
I'm looking for a 1-1 draw. I think one feature that you might want to look out for, Jiro Rui and Yeremy Pino have this really, really interesting connection that happens 3 or 4 times a game when they're both playing, where we get pressed high and Jiro just looks for him. And Yeremy's really good at receiving that and playing one ball ahead. And if he can get one of those passes into Gerard Moreno, we're going to score. We've kept a good number of clean sheets lately, but I don't think we're keeping a clean sheet in this one, so a 1-1 draw, I think.
Yeah, Yeremy put up a couple assists on Atletico last time these two met. So.
And I think one of them was that exact play where they went over the top.
Yes, it was.
Yeremy knocked it ahead to Danjuma, and then he went in and scored.
Yeah, so. That was the second goal, the one that almost stood as the winner. I'm going to go with the draw, too. Another 2-2 draw. Why not? Okay. Another 4-goal thriller at La Ceramica, and pretty much as you were, right? The game at La Ceramica last year would have ended in a draw under most circumstances because Villarreal just pelted Atletico in the second half, but the 2 goals were enough for Atletico to win there last year on their way to the league title. The league title is obviously very complicated this year, but a win at La Ceramica would be Atletico's third consecutive victory to start the year and would put them in fine form, entering a crucial stretch with domestic cups and the Champions League returning next month. You said you guys were going to take care of Man United for us. What happened?
Man, apparently this Cristiano guy is pretty good. I mean, I don't know. He's so in that competition in particular, he is so flipping inevitable. It is just like mind numbing. Like I don't even understand. I don't want to be like Ronaldo and Messi fans are some of the most annoying people on Twitter. So yes. I try not to talk too much about either one of them. But holy crap! In the Champions League, every single time with this guy, I don't know.
Every time.
And you probably know this way better than I do. I just happen to have experienced it for the first time this season.
Yeah, you've only experienced it once. I experienced it 4 years in a row when he was at Madrid.
Golly.
Oh, it was horrible. And my thinking is, it's the law of averages, right? Everything like in the universe inevitably has to even out at some point down the lines. At some point, Atletico have to beat this guy, right?
Surely. I don't know. Good luck. Good luck. Because... the rest of his team may let him down, but he's going to score. So you got to figure out how to outscore him. It's basically all he can do.
Especially with the away goals rule being scrapped.
Absolutely.
So it's everyone's got to win on aggregate now, which I think is a good thing, right? The away goals rule strategically is very interesting to think about and to enact, but it's archaic. It's old.
Oh, I love the away goals rule.
I did too.
I love the chaos that ensues. And like when I think of the away goals rule, I actually, you know, I think of like, I don't know, just been so many times every single year where it's like the calculus of who's going through changes dramatically because you have like a, you know, a 4-1 away win or something like that. I don't know. I just love the chaos that it brings.
Yeah, it was, we shithoused our way to a couple titles on the away goals rule. So it holds a special place in my heart.
But, and I don't know, I think football is kind of it's such a random game anyway, but I really appreciate just about anything that adds a little bit extra chaos to the game. Just a little bit extra, you know, holy crap, what just happened to a result is something I can usually support. And the away goals rule brings that to me. And I think, I'm afraid that we're going to end up with a lot more extra time in these knockout stages. And the players don't need those extra minutes, and especially not in February and March.
Yeah.
And I don't know. These guys get worked to death so bad. Like, and I mean, I'm, you know, we as fans are just as guilty as anybody of it because, like, we've got four players leaving for the African Cup of Nations, and we played them like 2 days before they flew out. And I can't wait till they get back because I'm going to want them in the lineup the day after they get back. But it's a lot to ask from these guys.
It's such a quick turnaround. And this game on Sunday is taking place not even 3 full days after these two teams played cup games. Yeah. Like Copa del Rey games. Atletico played a full-strength team on Thursday because of the bad run of results we went on pre-Christmas. So it's just so much to ask of these guys in the modern day with all these competitions on so many different levels.
Did you see the thing where Spanish football is trying to sort out right now? They've got Elche and somebody else scheduled to play on like back-to-back days right now. And so they've got to figure out where to put these games because of the way that the Copa's unfolding and everything. I mean, it's just, it's a mess because there's really just nowhere to put it.
And La Liga.
I mean, English football is worse because they got an extra cup competition. I don't understand it.
They have the League Cup, the Carabao Cup. And La Liga and the Spanish Football Federation are notorious for not communicating these postponements or rescheduling these games on time and giving fans and journalists just no notice whatsoever or as little notice as possible for these updated kickoff times. It's madness. Every year.
As a Villarreal fan, between the mess that La Liga and the Spanish Football Federation do and how much power Real Madrid and Barcelona throw around, you feel like your world is constantly like one step from crashing down all around you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do to prevent it if one of these entities just decides to just wreck everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little scary. It really is.
It's a sort of a sinking feeling.
Yeah.
You know, when it dawns on you. Zach, where can our listeners follow you and find your work?
Right now I'm mostly just doing stuff on Villarreal USA, so please go check us out there. I hardly do anything on my personal Twitter, so don't even worry about that. but just follow Villarreal USA, especially if you're someone that even if you don't, you know, care what's happening with Villarreal, I promise you I'm going to tweet enough snarky things about big money clubs all over the world that you'll find something that you appreciate. So come follow us on Twitter, read a little bit on the site. We've got a weekly feature that predicts all the games in La Liga. And we've had a pretty decent run of success so far with that this year. So yeah, come check us out.
Yes, your algorithm with Charlie Tooley, right?
Correct.
The odds.
And it actually has us as heavy favorites against Atletico this week, but it's XG based. So what it's doing is it's calculating our XG from when we had Bulai Dia and Sammy Chukwueze available and projecting that ahead for a game where we don't have them available. So that, I think that prediction's a little bit shaky, but overall, it's gotten about half the games right this year. which in a sport with three possible results, I think is pretty good.
That's pretty dang good. Absolutely. Well, the most likely scoreline, according to your algorithm, is 1-0 Villarreal. I'm going to hope that that's not right. I'm going to hope that that doesn't happen.
So, I don't know. We will see. If we can keep from shooting ourselves in the foot, we play pretty good defense, so we'll see.
Going to be a good one, and I'm very much looking forward to watching it and covering it. Zach Hicks, thank you so much for joining me on today's Colchonero Chat.
Okay, thank you very much for having me on.
You guys make sure you follow Villarreal USA on Twitter and check out their work. Really good stuff. In the meantime, keep it here on Into the Calderon and on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. We will be back on Sunday for instant analysis and another full-length episode of the show. Thank you all so much for listening, and adios.